Hello, and welcome to Above the Laughs, the comedy podcast that takes place above the world-famous Laugh Factory in Chicago. I'm your host, Matt Charmonte. Today I sit down with comics Mike Young and Camilla Cleese. I wanted to discuss the relationships that comedians have with their crowds, and Mike was headlining a series of shows right here at Laugh Factory Chicago. You might have seen Mike on Last Call with Carson Daly or The Late Late Show. He's also written for Entourage. He's a new movie coming out that he wrote and directed starring John Stamos, who he has some interesting stories about in this podcast. Camilla Cleese was in from L.A. doing some guest spots. She was very nice. She was nice enough to join us. She's very funny. She's also very tall and blonde. Oh, and her dad happens to be a gentleman by the name of John Cleese, who you might know from the comedy he made with a few of his friends in the 70s and 80s. But she was very funny and helpful in getting to the bottom of this whole relationship between comics and crowds. The three of us have a great conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. A couple of notes. This was the first episode that we recorded, and we had a few sound issues. Right off the bat, a phone rings, and I'm so sorry if that's annoying. And a little later, an ambulance goes by the window, which I had no control over, but I do hope that they saved someone. And if you need saving in the form of an interesting podcast, then I suggest you give a listen to my interview with Camilla Cleese and Mike Young. Enjoy.
You were on fire.
Good crowd.
Yeah.
You guys ready to just... We can just make it like a conversation.
Let's conversation it up, bro.
Am I not saying anything?
You know, you're here. You're here. We're here.
You're in. Okay. You can say whatever you want.
Phone's ringing. This is great. Yeah. So good start. Matt, here with Mike Young, Camilla Cleese, our two comics. Just we're above the Laugh Factory Chicago right now.
We are in a very weird office. Yeah. Off to the side.
Is the phone ringing?
While the world's loudest phone rings.
Yeah. And I hope they keep calling. I hope it's really important. This is great.
Is that the main ticket phone line? Because that's good for us.
Right. Yeah. You have another show tonight.
Yeah. So if people are listening to this, they know tickets are being sold right now.
Right.
Phone is ringing.
Right. You guys are killing it. So you guys just did your first set. Yeah. And you got one more coming up. So thanks for taking the time to do this real quick. Yeah. What we're essentially doing is, or what led to this was I was watching a show here at Laugh Factory, and there was five local comics went up at the 8 o'clock show. And the audience wasn't having it, and then, you know, 11 o'clock came around, same five comics, same material, and they just destroyed.
Right.
Essentially, so what led to this, which I'm sure is a phenomenon that you guys are all aware of. So I was like, well, what was the deal there? And I don't know what kind of relationship you guys have, like, with the crowds, or how you tailor your material towards that.
I think everything matters when it comes to a crowd, so you could have had, like, if you had 200 people, they got free tickets and got hammered before and just went in for free and didn't have to pay and, you know, weren't ready to sit down and pay attention.
Right.
Now you got like a shitty crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so that just happens.
It's there's so many variables.
And as a comic, you gotta adjust. So, you know, it's tougher to do a shitty room like that.
Yeah.
You know, when you, like the early show that you're talking about.
Right.
But, you know, it's comedy, man.
Right.
Everything happens.
It's probably more people with children, like old people, mm-hmm. that come out for the early shows, too.
That's true, too. Yeah, and it was a Friday, so it's, you know, a lot of people aren't ready to...
Right. Friday early shows are notoriously more mellow. Mm-hmm. They're getting off work. They're tired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're still thinking about the job.
Yeah.
There's a whole mentality. Like, there should literally be, like... It shouldn't even be an early show Friday. It should just be one 10:30 show Friday so that they're good and liquored up.
Right.
All the problems of the week are gone.
Yeah.
And how quickly can you tell, like, when the crowd's not in it, or is that something that you're just
within 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Just right away.
Totally.
It's like
then you look at their face.
And then is it like, well, nothing I can do about this, or is it?
It's like sometimes I get an attitude, like, you know, if I'll get like a little upset.
Yeah.
Like if they're upset and I get up there, now it's like a little mini battle. Like, okay, you want to fuck around? Let me see if I can make you laugh out of your misery.
Right.
So you gotta adjust for it. You do.
Yeah.
You can't come out with stadium energy.
Right.
To a miserable crowd.
And that was a good point. And you've done some,
some big theater work. Yeah, right? you were.
I did. Yeah, I did. I did 12,000 people with Russell.
Oh yeah.
I opened for Russell Peters in San Jose, and it was 12,000 people.
Wow.
So that was the biggest crowd I've ever done for sure.
So like, how do you like adjust between like the energy of doing a show for like?
The irony of that is that you actually got to go like, you almost got to like pretend you're more in a living room.
Right.
And the more living room you are, like the more into your own shit and like into your emotional beats, the more a huge crowd follows you. It's like a really weird dynamic. If you try to overshout and over, and like, you can't match 12,000 people.
Yeah.
So you got to reverse it, I think.
Okay.
So I found like Russell, we did 12,000, then 7,000 in Atlanta, then 5,000 in Detroit. Like,
yeah.
I just went into a zone where I was like, I am in a living room. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's only 30 people here, and I'm just going to be into my shit. And it rocked.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a crazy.
You have to slow it down, too, like because of the laughs.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
because
they're,
like,
totally, because the laughs are rolling it. So it's like, of course, that's the sound of Mike Young killing in front of 12,000. But it literally, your timing's different.
Right.
You got to shift it. You can't just power through your shit because you're stepping on laughs that are still coming in.
Are you going to be less likely to do any kind of crowd work or anything in a situation like that, you find? Or
somebody did yell out something at one of Russell's shows, I think in Atlanta, where there was like 7,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to just be so in your zone that you can address that.
Because
if someone yelled like some really loud shit,
mm-hmm.
so it kind of, you know, everyone heard it. So I did address it. And you got to just hope what you say back is really funny. Otherwise, you're awkward in front of thousands.
Is that, what's like your ideal show? Would you rather do a big room like that? Or would you rather just like a good small crowd? Or
I mean, the ideal show, the ideal show is to feel intimate.
Yeah.
I like the intimate feeling, like
mm-hmm.
the 120, 150.
Okay.
We're right here and we're just giving back and forth.
Right.
And if it's not that, then I'd rather go to 12,000, 15,000. You know what I mean? No in between shit.
Yeah.
I either want the intimacy of that or the intimacy of a stadium.
Excellent. Okay, cool. I think one of the things that we were discussing when we were coming up with this was that the average, like, audience member who goes to a comedy show isn't usually going, especially like if it's a local show, isn't going for a specific comic or knows that much about stand-up comedy or anything. They're just, I want to go and I heard this is, you know, I have to laugh, or I hear this will make me laugh. So like, is there if an audience member goes and they don't like your particular brand of like, comedy, like, is that like, do you find like that's your responsibility to try to win them over, or is it just like, because there's a like a, I think Jamie Masada, the Laugh Factory, he believes that like the audience is never wrong.
He's Jamie Masada.
Right, it's true.
He has his own train of thought.
That's true. Yeah,
everyone's got different philosophies.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm not.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like to get into that like I gotta make them like me zone, because that is like, then it fucks with your material.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I believe you gotta just do you.
Right.
And I mean, he's got a point. Yeah, if the audience member didn't like it and didn't have fun, yeah, to him, I sucked. You know?
Right.
But I don't think as a comedian you can go into that, like, you know, beg and, you know, grovel for laugh mode.
Right.
You know? But I have been on stage before and, like, felt like a negative human,
mm-hmm.
like, right next to me, who just doesn't like me.
Yeah.
And in my earlier days, I would do some, you know, I was crazy, so I would just, you know, fuck you. I'm like challenging to a fight in the alley. You know, I was definitely not great at handling it. But I think now you gotta just do you.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe that comedy shows should be more segmented, like, by, like, the style of humor for audience members? I mean, that's worked for, like, you know, like the big tour.
Come on out for June night.
Welcome
to Black Night.
But that happens. Yeah, or
welcome to Gangster Black.
Redneck Night, or yeah, whatever it is. It's or even
no one comes to this.
Yeah,
here's safe observational humor night. This is all you're gonna get.
Family night.
Right.
Yeah.
But that makes it harder for like, especially like young comics, right, to like find out their voice if they're like, well, I need to be able to fit into, you know, this night.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think you could ever just do segregated comedy theme night everywhere in the world, because I think you might think you make more money as a club owner,
mm-hmm.
or something, but I think you shoot yourself.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think, yeah, like, even the Laugh Factory's got a strong name, so 85% of the people here did not know me. Like, they don't know. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
100% don't know me.
Right.
No, they all do.
Right. Well, you just don't know.
That's the point, that you get people that don't know what they like, and then you show them. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I think it's nice to have contrasting comics, too. Like, to
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not have 2 6-foot blonde girls go in a row. The likelihood of that happening, I think, is pretty slim.
You pretty much are locking the market down on 6-foot hot blonde comics.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can get some blonde shorter comics on your tour.
Yeah.
Just blondes. Have more fun tour.
For the listener, Camilla is tall and blonde. I don't
know. Yeah.
Shit. Look her up. You will see part of her.
Or pretending to be.
This is great. I don't want to take you too long. You know, you got to get back up there. But do you? I don't know if you. Maybe this is a bad question to ask before you guys go back up there. Do you have like a tough crowd story that like
Toughest crowd story.
But like, yeah, go ahead.
I was fucking on my head.
I have a horrible one.
I got sucker punched after a show.
Really?
I got put in the hospital, bro.
Whoa.
Oh yeah, West Palm Beach Young American Comedy Tour.
Yeah.
It was my tour.
Yeah.
Me, Steve Renazzisi, Sam Tripoli. First night, Thursday night, we do the show. Great show, packed house, fun night, West Palm Improv. I get off stage, some hot chick is like, come hang out at the bar next door. My friends own it. So I'm like, all right, cool. Me, all the boys, we go next door to the Blue Martini next door. We're all in a booth, and literally, this girl's next to me. Renazzisi's here, Tripoli's there, girls and guys, everyone's partying, and I swear to God, the thought that was in my mind was, how great is my life? Like, oh my God. That was the thought.
I never think that.
I swear to God, I'm thinking, like, I got a hot chick on my left. I just rocked a show in West Palm. I'm in Florida. I'm basically on vacation.
Yeah.
And after I had that thought, and next thing I know, bang, I get fucking pummeled.
Oh, man.
I never saw the guy coming. Oh. And it turned out he was, like, a fucking, her stalker.
Oh, really?
Her ex-boyfriend, crystal meth, white trash stalker dude. And he fucking bum rushed me, blasted me a couple times in the face. On my shit's all. At this moment, Renazzisi and Tripoli are fucking dancing like two clowns. They weren't in the booth.
At that
moment, they were on the dance floor. So this dude came, got me good. I'm all fucked up. By the time I even stood up, I saw like a figure, like, boom, out the door.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the fuck was that? And this girl's like crying, but I knew that she knew him. Like, something told me that her cry wasn't, like, authentic enough.
Right.
She was, like, a bad actress. And I was like, who the fuck was that? Long story short, she wouldn't come out. She pretended not to know him.
Yeah.
So the next day, I had to go to the hospital, broken nose. I'm in West Palms Hospital, whatever.
I've been there.
Yeah. Great hospital. Good doctors. Yeah. So next day, my shit's taped up, so I can't even perform. We got 6 shows. This is after the first one. I can't do the show. So I go to the improv, I get the girl, I call her, I basically threaten her. I'm like, listen, the cops are coming to arrest you, you can either come up with this dude's name or not. Next thing I know, within a half hour, she's up at the place with his name and his number. Long story short, guy sent the cops, they went, they arrested him. I was going to trial, I was going to press him to the fullest and lock his ass up. And the day before, I'm packed in LA, ready to go to court, I get a call from his lawyer. He wants to cut a deal. So he wanted to cut a deal. He was scared to go to jail.
Yeah.
So I fucking, I had like a PI on him to like figure some shit out of how much money he had. And I just came up with like a ridiculous number. I quadrupled what my cost of medical bills were. And I fucking buried him for a year. I was getting a check from him. I got a check for like $850 a month for like a year and a half.
Really?
Yeah. From the Department of Corrections in Florida, because it has to go through the court system.
Right.
So every month I'm like, yo, bro, thanks for rent, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know? And to this day, I still Google Earth his house. Because I don't want to let that motherfucker go, but I am going to let it go, because I'm a good person. Laugh after podcast.
Yeah.
But that shit was a bad story. Wow. That's a bad fan story.
Yeah. Wow.
But what's ironic is if you read the book I Killed, which is about all the comedians all back in the day, there's like similar dudes have had trouble before. Like, you know, when you're a comedian, like, hopefully when you go on the road, you just have to be safe as a girl. But like, dudes want to challenge other dudes. Are like, it's a little more dangerous, and you know,
yeah, it's coming just, up from on stage.
You're like a free radical, bro.
Yeah.
You're just out there. Anything can happen,
mm-hmm.
and that happened. I got a couple crazy stories.
I did a show. I mean, technically not stand up, but with my dad.
Sure.
He's a comedian in it.
Her dad's John Cleese, legendary John Cleese. Fill that out there for the podcast.
We toured New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Random place to tour.
Right.
We did 9 cities, if you could call them that. And we got to one, and it really was the most depressing place ever. Palmerston North, I think it was called.
Okay.
And he opened the show with the line, "So, I hear Palmerston North is the suicide capital of the world." And
that's awesome.
Crickets.
Oh, wow.
Like, they took pride in their town.
Oh, shit.
So the rest of the show, like, we had to go on and go on, and it was like, I wanted to cry, and he looked like he was going to cry, but you can't just, like, quit.
You can't cry.
You know?
Yeah.
And about a week later, we read in the paper that they named the local trash heap Mount Cleve.
Oh, God.
Shut up.
Swear to God, yeah.
Wow.
So it's still there.
That is
thankfully
fun.
It's Mount,
in their
Mount John Cleese, not Mount Camilla Cleese.
That's good.
So is it Mount John Cleese or is it just Mount Cleese? Either way,
I'd
that's
like
amazing.
To think it's
just
John, please.
Yeah.
Because wow. I'm not the one that said it was the suicide capital of the world.
Yo, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Was your dad a stand-up also, or did he just wanted to stand-up?
I mean,
later?
He does like a one-man show, but it's different. It's weird.
Right, he's got a couch, a chair, he tells stories.
No couch. He walks around like a stand-up, but he doesn't hold a mic.
Right.
Okay.
And it's very rehearsed.
Right.
And he has like slides and...
He didn't have a suicide slide, did he?
No.
Okay.
We actually did do a bit on statistics about how people die.
Mm.
That was really funny, actually.
That's some funny dark shit.
And then pointed out to the audience, like, percentage-wise, who was going to die and why.
That's
and
good.
Then the punch was, like, 1.3% will commit suicide, and you know who you are. Like,
that's dark.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Comedy goes dark, man. This,
it is.
There's only been a few movies that have, like, nailed it. You know, like, maybe King of Comedy and Punchline was a little edgy, but there's it's due.
Yeah.
It's going to get its due somewhere down the line. Like, there will be a drama about comedy done properly, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thanks both of you guys for coming out here. I know you guys got to get back out
thanks,
there.
Bro.
Appreciate it.
I'm so relaxed after that show. I'm just going to sit here and sip Jaeger.
Yeah, definitely.
You're good at that.
Yeah, it's not a cool thing to be good at. I'm actually thinking a lot about not drinking.
I wish I was good at it or I wouldn't have quit drinking.
I'm just a good drinker.
Well...
You never seem like you've been drinking.
I'm just happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, last night I was.
And people
great.
Think I'm drunk all the time, and I don't.
But you
drink.
Don't drink?
No, not at all.
Sugar-free Red Bull.
Yeah, I get crazy on that.
Yeah, that'll get
you.
You
do.
I dance on tables. Yeah, it's bad.
Well, I don't know when this is gonna come out, but if you guys, I don't know if you have anything. I know you have a movie coming out.
I do. My Man is a Loser, starring Michael Rapaport, John Stamos, Brian Callen.
Awesome, and you
yeah,
wrote
Sean
and directed
Young.
It.
I did. I wrote and directed it.
Awesome.
But, yeah, wow. I was very...
You're fancy, huh?
It was some heavy lifting shit.
Yeah. Were you exhausted. In it, too?
I was in it. Yeah, I'm
who
not...
Who was the loser?
Rappaport and Callen are the two married losers.
Okay.
They're married to their wives. They can't pay attention anymore. They employ Stamos to help them get their swagger back to
nice.
Reconnect with their wives.
Perfect.
So, you know, they don't listen. They don't cuddle. They don't pay, you know, nothing. So he gives them, like, blessings, like cuddling, you know, listening, spontaneity, humor. So it's just a fun...
Uncle Jesse's great at that.
He was great. I named him Mike. It was like my voice. I thought I was like a cool voice. So literally like in the middle of filming, he's like, "You're so fucked up in your head." This is Stables tells me. "You're so fucked up in your head. You think you're cooler than me that I should be playing you." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, "That's how fucked up you are." I'm like, "I gotta be honest, bro. You're not that cool."
Yeah.
I think I am cool. I'm cool.
You are cool. You're
I'm like,
really
I'm cooler
cool.
than you. I can't play guitar or like or piano or...
He can play guitar.
I can do everything.
Mm-hmm. Really?
He is a talented fucking dude.
Huh.
Plays the drums for the Beach Boys.
Oh,
like,
really?
I took on like a 20-city tour drumming for the Beach Boys.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No way. I know one of the Beach Boys.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But they're like,
you probably grew up in a house with like fucking, there's like a Beach Boy, like Charles Manson's in the house, there's fucking Paul Steve McCartney, Martin. Steve, right, the improv
doing
at your house.
Sean Connery.
Doing your birthday party.
Right. It's like the highest level charades game you can ever play.
But like, yeah, I had no idea who anyone was. Like
my dad's friend
so,
Steve.
Yeah.
You didn't?
No. Like, they'd do magic tricks for me, and I was like, cool, great. Can I go to bed now?
That's so funny.
That's crazy.
They're like, yeah, go to bed while we smoke enormous amounts of weed.
No, my dad's so straight, which is so weird to me because his material is so fucked up.
No drinking, nothing.
I mean, no, he drinks wine. But, like, he doesn't get drunk, really.
But he never went through, like, a crazy phase.
No drugs. That's why he was so oblivious to when I did drugs. He just said no.
Right. That's why he's the fucking successful business dude. Like, he's like...
No, he's a terrible businessman.
I thought, like, I read somewhere that your dad, like, didn't he have, like, a company that, like... Did he own, like, a big company that gave public speeches? Public speaking? Or is that
he
not
does, him? Like... He does... He thinks he's an expert on everything, like most celebrities.
Yeah.
And he did a series of business management videos. He wrote 2 books on psychology, which I find hilarious. Like, one's called Families and How to Survive Them, and considering he's been married 4 times. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's so genius that you become a celebrity, you think you know shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you really think you're like, and they're like the worst people to think
yeah.
they know shit. Because they live in like a bubble.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
you know?
Singers think that they're actors. Too.
Yeah.
Because everybody around them is telling them how great they
yeah.
are.
Yeah. Stamos and I had a moment on set where he's like, my character wouldn't say this, and this person wouldn't. I was like, bro, you are not even human, bro.
Yeah.
You've been famous since you're for 30 years. Mm-hmm. The other people in the world, they say shit like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't have to say anything. You just fucking smile, and there's like 7 girls in your jacuzzi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
There's nothing you have to do. You don't need to say anything. Anyway. Cool, bro. Thanks. All right,
well, thanks a lot, guys.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you for listening to Mike Young and Camilla Cleese in Above the Laughs. Join us next time when we talk to somebody else in the comedy world in hopefully a much quieter location. Hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day. That's my catchphrase.